You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Rotations.
Mighty Brent Bjork. That's actually Brent Bjork and the Bros from the Samara Soul album from about 10 years ago, I think. It'd probably be at least 10 years ago by now. Got a very special guest in here at 3CR, Pirate from the Black Reef. G'day, Pirate.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Fantastic, mate. Just before we go any further, 3CR would like to acknowledge the Kulin Nation, true owners, caretakers and custodians of the land from which we broadcast. 3CR pays respect to elders past and present of the Kulin Nation. We recognise their unceded sovereignty. Mate, it's an absolute delight to have you in the studios of 3CR. You're from Alice Springs, Arrente, Eastern Arrente, am I correct?
Arrente.
Thank you very much. And I was fortunate enough, listeners, to spend some time up in Pirate's neighbourhood last month for the Blacken Open Air Metal Festival, which was held at Ross River. And we're going to get to that and another special, very special show I and only 250 other people saw at Uluru called Shadows of Uluru, which was also Pirate's brainchild.
Pleasure to be here, man. Thanks for making space for me and awesome to be on community radio.
Fantastic, mate. Now, before we get to all of that, can I just get a little bit of background about you? I had a good chat with you, a brief chat. You're a pretty busy man up there last month, but had a brief chat. What's some of your background? How did you first get involved in music? And do you play music yourself?
Yeah, just like most people, got a fascination with heavy music in high school, and you know, growing up in Alice, there wasn't much we could do with it at the time. You know, had a mate, Tully, whose dad was a drummer, so they had a jam room for us, and we used to, you know, write songs and just kind of, you know, blackout drunk, write a bunch of stuff, and kind of that would be it. We'd listen to it the next day on a recording and go like, oh, that sounds cool, let's make a song out of that, you know. Like,
yep.
But basically, yeah, there wasn't a pathway ahead of us, or, you know, any idea of what we could actually do with it. No studios, no real venues supporting it, like. So yeah, from there I kind of went off on a bit of a journey for a few years, went down to Adelaide and tried to start some bands there, and eventually moved back to Alice, and I just thought, man, there's so much potential here, that we've got this kind of real creative community, and there's young people coming up starting bands, and watching them, and I thought, well, you know, I relate to them so much. I just think there's so much more we could do with it.
What age were you then, sort of around that time?
Well, I got back to Alice, probably around 27.
Yep.
At that time. Yeah. Yeah, so we all got together one day and just came up with this concept of creating this collective. And, you know, one of the first projects was scavenging for recycled goods and building this backyard studio out of, you know, styrofoam, wall panels and, you know, fridging panels and carpeted, and yeah, we just started pulling all our resources together, and yeah, people started jumping in and helping out, and that project was sort of mid-2011, and then it turned into this idea of launching a label.
Mm-hmm.
And 11/11/11 was coming up, and that just resonated with me, and I was like, yeah, that's the date.
All right.
So yeah. we got our first EP done with three local bands, Uncreation, The Horror, and Miasma.
Mm-hmm.
And then we, you know, feeling pretty ambitious. I've got a bit of a media background, so I was working in like community television at the time.
Oh yeah.
And thought, yeah, we'll do this live stream, which, you know, wasn't super common back in 2011. So we got, you know, 4-camera shoot going at the local venue where we put it on, and we broadcast it to venues all across Australia. And the media sort of picked it up, and they were like, you know, it's an Australian first, this thing. We had it in one venue in every state.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was just kind of us, you know, waving the flag and going, you know, we're out here.
Yep.
We're fucking isolated. People aren't, you know, heading out this way for gigs. They don't know about us, but yeah.
True DIY. Beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's always been DIY. DIY or die.
And so the Black Wreath, when did you first come up with, I suppose, the Black Wreath? Did what you've just been describing, did that morph into the Black Wreath?
Yeah, that was the 11/11/11 launch of the Black Wreath. So I just saw it as a symbol somewhere earlier that year, you know. It just sort of came, you know, I stumbled upon one on this random journey down south somewhere, and it's like, oh, you know, that's a pretty morbid looking Christmas logo. Like, yeah, and then I got flown back to Alice Springs for a medicine circle. Like a plant medicine space, and yeah, did some mescaline, and I saw it kind of morphing into this shape with this numerology and this symmetry, and yeah, that kind of just seared into my brain, and I was like, yeah, let's do it,
and become the welcoming symbol for folks arriving at Black and Open Air last month. It looks pretty cool. So can you tell me a little bit about your amazing warehouse music space in Alice, and how long ago you set that up?
That one, we were looking around for a number of years, right? So we built our first studio in Tully's backyard in the demountable there. Well, I think we were in there for maybe 4 or 5 years. We recorded a bunch of albums, like, you know, over those next few years we sort of expanded, and we had other bands on the label like Southeast Desert Metal and Extermission, and we'd done about, you know, a few EPs and maybe 5 or 6 albums by that point. We were screen printing out of a shed in my backyard, and at some point we just decided, like, we need to put it all under one roof, you know. We're doing so much disparately. Let's create that resource that was never there when we were growing up, you know, and make it accessible to the rest of the town, and try to, like, nurture a local scene like that. So when that property came up for rent, I instantly knew it was the one. You know, I'd been looking for years, and we found this spot. It was just like a kind of decrepit office space. There was a building certifier in it for a bunch of years, and ironically, it was never certified. But yeah, when I saw it come up for lease, it's like right on the outskirts of the CBD, just on the inside edge of the industrial area. So it's like perfect for noise. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and we got in there in the Black Reef Collective at the time. We had a lot of, you know, skills as tradies, builders. You know, I was doing film, as people that do recording, and so we got straight in there and ripped all the old carpet out, started painting all the walls black, building the stage, building the bar, you know. And yeah, so the central hub of it sort of became the venue, but it's on a kind of also facilitates recordings as well. So.
Yeah, yeah, it's an amazing space. So were people by this stage really starting to gravitate towards that hub?
I mean, it's been a big journey. This was like 5 years deep, so we're coming up to 9 years in that space now. And the evolution of it, you know, it was always like you know, build a space to have live bands playing, but the community speaks for what goes on in that space.
So yeah,
we cater to everything in there now. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of dwarf, queer parties, punk nights, like hip hop nights. Like,
cool.
Yeah, it's kind of like the glue that really holds a lot of the culture of Alice together in some ways. Yeah,
fantastic. Let's throw down another track, and then I want to ask you about Blacken Open Air.
Let's do it.
I paid $36 for a jug of beer, and there's nothing fucking special about being in here. 100% got nothing to say to you. Don't tell me any delicious is ever in a shoe. This place is gone in the dogs. Gone in the dogs, gone in the dogs. This place is gone in the dogs. Gone in the dogs, gone in the dogs. This place is gone in the dogs. The freezing gray has never looked a beckon. Pulled over for a BT, now I'm pissing in a car. The thing that brings someone running from a phone. Get on your knees and beg until they throw a bone. This place is gone in the dogs. Gone in the dogs, gone in the dogs. This place is gone in the dogs. Gone in the dogs, gone in the dogs. This place is gone to the dogs. Gone in the dogs.
Friends or Rom, Gone to the Dogs. Now, of course, Friends or Rom were one of the main attractions at Blacken Open Air, which was held last month, middle of last month. Porrit, can you tell us firstly about the sort of genesis of Blacken Open Air, and then and I'll ask you a bit about this year's event.
Yeah, so the label, the Black Reef, launched in late 2011. In 2012, I got to perform at Wide Open Space for the first time, which is a kind of a fringy, kind of doofy festival that used to happen in Alice Springs. I'd been going to it as an attendee for a bunch of years, and then we got invited to play with our psychedelic death metal band, Uncreation, which is always good fun, getting under the skin of the, you know, trippers and everything like that out there. So we really kind of catered to that with, you know, some pretty subversive kind of performances.
Keeping everyone on their toes.
Yeah, but attending Wide Open Space was like a bit of a revelation to me, because it was like the first time I'd really seen that an event wasn't just this thing that you rock up with the ticket. It was like, you know, it takes this whole community, and you can just pull it all together, you know, with just the seeds of an idea, and, you know, people when you get their hands dirty. I think that really like made me feel like we could do something similar with metal. You know, we all grow up looking at Varken and looking at this European festival culture, and they have these camping festivals, and it's like, seemed really bizarre to me that that doesn't exist in Australia, because we've already got such enormous, you know, camping culture. So yeah, the idea was there that, you know, if we really want people to travel to Alice to come and participate and experience, you know, heavy metal in the centre, it's not going to be a one day thing. It's got to be a multiple day thing, you know, to justify the travel and all that. But, we started as a one-dayer in 2012, the seeds were kind of, you know, planted, and then the first one happened on Easter weekend 2013, and we brought King Parrot up, and we had a bunch of other local bands and a bunch of interstaters, and we did the live stream again. So we got the camera crew out just to make a bit more, you know, noise and get some more eyeballs on it. And so then we called it Black in the Globe originally. Mm-hmm. It was always like, it was, you know, it was vital and it was awesome, but it was all, it always felt like a bit of a stepping stone. I knew we had to do that to get to this, you know, this point where we could eventually get out to Ross River. And I thought 3 years, I thought, yeah, after 3 years, we'll take it out there. And we're slowly building it. We did it every Easter. And then in 2016, we took it to a bigger venue that was also in town, but we weren't quite there. You know, that we didn't really have the capacity, the skills. You know, interstate people had started to come as attendees, but we moved it to the second venue. It had an adjacent campground, and it was kind of like a halfway step.
Yep.
So we ran it there for another three years. We did it as a 2-day festival. And and then 2019, we were ready to take that final step, and it was a massive learning curve, you know, running it all off Jenny's an hour out of time, like an hour out of town. Yeah, and right. We somehow pulled it off. It's, it's always a miracle every time we get through it, and it's like, yeah, there's a lot of variables.
Now, Ross River, that location that you've just referred to, is a stunning, beautiful part of this country. As you say, about an hour outside of Alice, about 70 k's, sort of at the sort of cradled at the below the East MacDonald Ranges. Is that that's correct?
Correct. Yeah.
Yes, beautiful, stunning place. Mm. You must have been rapt to be able to take the event there.
Oh, absolutely. That was always the goal, was that very location. That's a very important site as well, like has a lot of tapestry of stories, Arunda culture that run through there. And for me personally, it's been a really significant ground as well. Like when I moved back to Alice in mid-2011 to do the Medicine Circle, it was out in that country. Mm-hmm. So I feel very connected out there through that. And a year later when we were at that wide open space was also exact location where I met Chris Wallace from Southeast Desert Metal. Uh-huh. And you know, our friendship and relationship since then has been, like, you know, hugely important. It's kind of just eye-opening, educational, you know, just beautifully mutual respect with, you know, my adopted family through his family. And his auntie, that was her homelands out there at Indiagua.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, Indiagua is the Arunda name for what we call Ross River.
Uh-huh.
And that relates to a Seven Sisters dreaming story. Aragua is the name of the Pleiades star system. And there's a massive story that goes through there, through the riverbed, where the serpent was chasing the ladies. And there's a portal there in the hillside when you cross the river.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see these seven caves, and that's where the women went through the portal up to the stars.
Wow.
And it's just, yeah, it's the most phenomenal site in Australia, I think. And, like, you know, I traveled to Metal Days back in the day. That was a mind-blowing location, you know, and really solidified that idea that, you know, the location is such a huge part of a festival experience.
Yeah.
And so to find that, and then to have the permission to be able to do it out there, like, every day I wake up out there, even during the build, you know, we're out there a week early, and you just, like, you wake up and it's just jaw dropping, and you feel so lucky. Like, how the hell do we get to do this? How do we get away with it? Like,
yeah. And you returned this year with an amazing lineup. Earthless, who we'll get to a little bit later as well. Some of the bands included the Holy Dimes, local band.
Mm-hmm.
You had
Legends.
Friends or Rom were headlining on the final night. You had Battlesnake, you had Run, who were really cool. Co, who I think a young band who were camping actually right next to me from up in Darwin.
Mob, yeah.
Yep, they were really cool. Fate Gear, I think from Japan.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you pull the lineup together this year? And can you just tell us a little bit about how you got Blood Duster on the bill and maybe one or two of your favourite moments?
Yeah, sure. I started working on it about a year ago. I've always got conversations going with bands, you know, from the events prior. You know, I've always had this list of bands that I'm trying to get, and it's always ongoing. A lot of the time bands reach out to me, like, you know, some wild cards like Fake Gear from Japan. Mm-hmm. You know, I just got an email from an agent, and he's like, I want to bring them to Australia, but if we're going to make it viable, we need to attach it to a big show.
Yeah.
So that was an epic surprise. Like, that was a cool, you know, thing to just really catch people off guard in the middle of the event, and you know, people had no idea what it was going to be. Looking back at that weekend, like, I think the flow of the weekend is really important. I spent a lot of time thinking about, you know, the journey that people have gone on that whole 3 days. And I like to think of it as like a birth, death, rebirth cycle.
Yeah. Yep.
So people are going out there, you know, you've traveled to be there, you're still shaking off the programs and the matrix, and you know, that first night you really want to get in and get your hands dirty and, you know, let loose. The second morning you're waking up.
Yep. Where's the coffee?
It's the first time you're really appreciating where you are, you know?
Yeah.
And you're looking around now and you're like, holy hell, like, you know, and we kick it off kind of heavy again because people are so excited on the Saturday morning, you know? So midday, it's like, boom, straight into it. And we always need that Saturday night massive purge. So this year that was Dharma, the Taiwanese death metal band, you know, that I think really just like, really let people let their hair down and get dirty.
Yeah.
Super heavy band. Sunday we'll start off, you know, with like stoner and psychedelic rock and just kind of, you know, I think that time of day the riffs sort of become an extension of the landscape and you're looking around at just this slow, heavy, brooding, you know, mountainous like feeling. And yeah, Sunday night was just a big build up into Blood Duster, which was just like, yeah, a dream come true. Like, I've been contacting Jason PC for like nearly 10 years, but I think more than 10 years actually. Before the very first Blacken, I was reaching out to him because I knew he was running Goat Sound. I'm like, hey, maybe you could get up to Alice and record one of our bands up here, The Horror, because they're a grindcore band, and you know, and we could do a Blood Duster gig while you're up here. And you know, years later they do the retirement gig, and
yeah,
I'm like, oh well, I'll I could let that sleep, or I could just like pester the bloke every time Blacken rolls around, and it was always just a flat no.
Yeah,
here's your annual check in, you know.
This went on for years, yeah.
Yeah, for years. Like, here's your annual check up. All your mates are doing it. It's a fucking good time. Like, and and then eventually, would have been last year, I get an email back from him, and he's like, hypothetically, if we were going to do it, like, yeah, what would it look like?
That's a good start.
Like, yeah, there you go. All right. Let's yarn. That was pretty full circle. Like, we all grew up, you know, listening to Blood Duster and, you know, degenerate days. And, it was fun to let loose with those guys on.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. That must have been a special moment for you to see them on stage.
Yeah, definitely. And they don't know if they'll do another one or not. They, you know, all saying they had the best time ever, and if that's it, they're happy with it, you know.
Fantastic. We've got Pirate from the Black Wreath in the studio. We'll be back in a tick. Rotations. You're on 3CR. If you're listening on playback or on the podcast in the future, hi, hope you're well. We've got Pirate from the Black Wreath in the studio, a special guest visiting from Alice Springs after a very busy period in his life, putting on Blacken Open Air and Shadows of Uluru. And we're going to get to Shadows of Uluru. I want to hear all about that and how Pirate put that together. But first, one of the bands that played at Shadows of Uluru and also featured at Blacken was the mighty Earthless. We'll be right back. Earthless with Black Heaven from, I think that's, when was that? About 5 years ago, I think. I think that's the album Earthless. This track is Earthless, of the same name as the album, Earthless. Now, the reason we're playing that is because we've already referred to them as being part of the Black and Open Air. But, Pirate, you came up with a plan a few years ago to try and lure Earthless to play in a very special place. Can you tell us about that and how you pulled that off?
So, with Blacken over the years, we've often sent artists and punters on a bus from Adelaide trying to make ends meet for some of the, you know, the low-budget events that we were doing. And sometimes it'd be more economical to just, like, hire a bus and then get one of our mates to drive it and chuck 50, you know, artists and fans in there. And just to add to the experience, we'd detour towards Uluru and, you know, they'd do that part of it, justify the, you know, 20 hours in the vehicle or whatever. But I've always been thinking about a way to integrate it into the experience for people. And yeah, I just think that the location is so iconic, you know, that like if we've always been pretty, you know, we aim pretty high out there in the desert. So we're like, you know, it's so iconic globally as well.
Uluru.
That if we were to ever attract international punters to come to Blacken, it'd be a pretty clever way to do it, to have Uluru as part of it. A few years back, a friend introduced me to Earthless and that track, Uluru Rock. And, the seed just kind of was planted as soon as I heard it. I was like, probably the only person in the world in the right location at the right time, reckless enough to give this a crack. And so I sent out an email, you know, you find Googling and you find an agent for them, and then started this conversation. I just said, hey, let's make some magic happen.
Yep.
And I did that before I, you know, approached anyone at Uluru to see if it was actually viable or not. And that was like, sometime middle of last year, I reckon. And the combos were going back and forth and back and forth, and then I've got to reach through the gatekeeping of Voyages, the big tourism body that, you know, looks after the villa, like the township of Yulara at Uluru. And fortunately, I have a really good friend down there who's an incredible artist, and his name's Jeremy Whiskey. And he actually performed with us at the launch of the Black Wreath back in 2011 with his old band called Iwancha Band. And he's phenomenal. Like, he's just ridiculously proficient on so many instruments. Like, he's a shred guitarist, he plays keys, he drums, he plays bass, he sings. Like, he's a phenomenal fella. And he's also a very, like, he takes his cultural responsibilities very seriously as well, as an Anangu man. And part of the motivation was then, well, how would we use an opportunity like this to platform a local artist such as Jeremy Whiskey? And the conversations then started there with me and him going like, you know, we could make this happen, and we could, you know, chat to them about, you know, you get a guest spot and you jump up and you play a lead or something, you know, during the jam or whatever. And he put me onto the right people, you know, to get me access behind all the 1-800 numbers and email addresses. And eventually I made my way to the general manager of Yulara. And when I explained the idea, he, just loved it and got really charged up and was like, yep, let's make this happen.
Wow, great.
Especially the Jeremy Whiskey aspect. I think he really backed the idea that, you know, it was an opportunity to educate people and share on a new culture, and also to, like, you know, dispel some of the weird mythology that New Age people have around Uluru. You know, there's all this kind of collective conscious idea that it's the chakra of the earth or whatever it is, and you go there and you hide your crystal in a cave, and, you know, the local mob and the rangers get kind of sick of it. You know, there was an incident a few years ago where some monks from Bhutan came down and painted their own scriptures over the top of sacred Aboriginal paintings on the rock. And that's an extreme version of something like this playing out. And we thought, well, here's a good opportunity to let the Anangu speak for what that place means, and we can document it all and make something of that, and use music as a vehicle to reach people, which I think is the most powerful, you know, common denominator that we have. yeah, we started to realize that it was possible. There was support to make it happen. Now we just have to figure out logistically how the hell we're going to do it. yeah, and then the actual production schedule was, you know, super tight. It fell on the vernal equinox on the Tuesday night at the beginning of spring, which we thought was pretty significant, but then we realized we weren't allowed to promote it as that because Voyagers don't want anything cosmic sounding associated with any events there that exact reason. That who are you going to attract?
Yeah, so right.
We found the Anangu word for the first day of spring and we promoted it like that. And it was, you know, two nights after Blacken. So we're out at site in Rossaroa for a whole week doing the build. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we're you know, showtime at Blacken. And then Sunday night, we start ripping down, packing the truck. Midday Monday, we're on the road, you know, driving 500 Ks and then starting the bump in down there for the next night. So it was full on. And so stoked that we made it happen. The amount of the planning and logistics that went into it, it's a whole year of work, you know.
Yeah.
And it was really kind of, it was really kind of hard to juggle the two of them because I often felt like I was putting so much work into Uluru that it might be taking away from what I could be doing for Blacken and etc. But yeah, we pulled it off.
You're listening to 3CR Community Radio, 855 AM, on digital and online, 3CR Radical Radio.
We've got Pirate from the Black Reef in the studio. Very fortunate to have him visiting our studios here at 3CR. I might jump to another track and then might see what's coming up next for the Black Reef. That was Full Tone Generator with Take Me. Now, Full Tone Generator, of course, also were part of Blacken on the final day. And it would have been nice to have them on the bill too, I imagine.
Yeah, I really like what Andy's doing down in Frankston, which was actually the place I was born.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we got some synergy there. But yeah, he's got a real cool thing going on with Singing Bird Studios and tour managing for Brant Bjork, so... That's how that all came together as well.
Yeah, we didn't really touch on Brant Bjork. We played one of Brant's songs at the top of the show. But Brant, of course, featured at Blacken and featured at Shadows of Uluru. And he looked like he was having a real good time.
Mm. Such a real dude. Like, yeah, I mean, when you reach out to bands, you don't know who's on the other end. And sometimes you don't barely get to have a conversation with them before you meet them at the event. So it's always like, you know, magic when they're super cool, super real, you know, full of gratitude and just there for the experience, you know.
Yeah. And you were talking about Jeremy Whiskey before. I was very happy and very fortunate to meet Jeremy out at Shadows, which was really nice. He did, in fact, as you suggested in your planning of Shadows of Uluru, he did get up and do that guest spot with Earthless. And how, man, that was a moment.
Yeah, for sure. That was probably one of the proudest moments of the weekend for me as well, just cool. Watching that happen and how natural it went down, you know. It was like, yeah, just the way the chemistry between him and the band, you know, and Isaiah just going back and forth, you know, solo for solo, and then Isaiah would kind of take a step back and then Jeremy would take a step forward, and I think they jammed for 15 minutes and Jeremy just built up more and more confidence, and towards the end, you know, he's such a showman, he's just sweeping and tapping and just like right at the front of the stage, just, you know, showing off.
He was showing off. Yeah. It was special.
Yeah.
Let's have a listen to Jeremy Whiskey. Jeremy Whiskey, Anger. Now, that album was recorded at your warehouse. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yep, at the Black Reef Studio, yep.
When was that?
Testing my knowledge now. Maybe 3 years ago, I reckon.
Yeah.
Mm.
How often do bands record there? Is that a regular thing?
Over the years, yeah. I mean, we often fly in engineers from interstate. We've done a lot of work with a fellow named Andy Kite, who runs Against the Grain Studio in Adelaide. So he's probably done the majority of our albums. We also work with local engineers, local producers.
Yep.
Yeah, we've done We've got a few in the can at the moment. We've got a third album for Southeast Desert Metal due to come out pretty soon.
Great.
We just did the Holy Dimes album. We launched that one at Blacken.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that was a passion project for sure. Like, I was pushing those guys to get in the studio. They've been around for 10 years, and it was during COVID. Uh-huh. Just hammering them to get in there, and we finally got it in, you know, got it in the can. Yeah. And then it took another bunch of years to finally press it to wax and get it out there. But
well done. Because yeah, I kept hearing stoked about it. Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I kept hearing people kept mentioning the Holy Dimes to me.
Yeah, up they're there, a three-piece, yeah, and they just got so much groove, and yeah. Yeah, they're great, great band.
Let's have a listen to Southeast Desert Metal.
Mm-hmm.
You're on 3CR. That was Southeast Desert Metal just a moment ago with Boogeyman. And that album recorded at Pirate's amazing creative hub, at the Black Reef in Alice Springs. That's a ripper tune.
Yeah, it's a killer. It's a good one. Catchy as hell. Gavin's feather-fingered guitar was just epic. Yeah, I love watching the bloke play.
Now, what's coming up for the Black Reef? Hopefully you've had a chance to put your feet up for a little while after this enormous month that you've had setting up and treating everybody to Black and Open Air and Shadows of Uluru. What's coming up in the future for the Black Reef?
Well, yeah, it's nice to clear the mind. You know, I'm still in the process of the post-festival,
yeah,
you know, paying all the invoices,
yeah,
sorting all the gear, everything like that, you know, everything you've got to do. I wasn't 100% ready to connect to commit to another festival, just at the moment, because I know as soon as I say, yep, this is when it's happening, then
yeah,
it's back in the brain. I can't stop. So I'm like trying to give myself a bit of space.
So you're not guaranteeing, or you're not saying, or not telling yourself that yes, we'll go again next year yet. You need to have a little breather.
It definitely won't happen in 2026.
Okay.
No, it's definitely not an annual thing. Mm. The last two, as you know, have been every 3 years. Mm. That was partly due to COVID and partly due to burnout. But yeah, if it was to come back, it would be at least 2027. And I would love to do it because it brings so much joy. I feel like it's, I feel like I'm in service and I get to gift people something like meaningful. That's very cool. And spiritual. Yeah. And, you know, really gives people a heightened experience and a chance to connect and transcend. Yeah. And, you know, we bring our highest ideals to the space and you can really take that resonance back home with you.
It was an incredible atmosphere. Sorry to interrupt. It was an incredible atmosphere there.
Yeah.
The connection people were feeling. Yeah.
For sure. So I do think that, you know, that justifies the amount of work that goes into it.
Mm. Shadows of Uluru was most definitely a one-off, wasn't it?
I don't think we would put ourselves through that logistically again. There may be another way to integrate an Uluru experience, but we probably wouldn't want to manage all the production ourselves so close together. That was just epic. yeah, but if we do it again, I mean, I'd love to, and I'd also be happy if we didn't, because I feel like what we achieved there, you know, last month was like the vision fully realized after, you know, 13 years of working towards that.
Yeah.
I finally looked around and all these kind of things I'd said back in 2012 kind of materialized, and we had international punters that flew over for it. We had international bands and we were at the site, and the production and the art and the way it all, you know, gelled together. It was just, you know, it was magic. Mm. And I'm really proud of everyone that was involved. And, you know, if that's it, I'd walk away satisfied. And, and if the universe wants it to happen again, I'd also be stoked to see where it goes next.
I reckon we can throw down one more track. Let's go with the Holy Dimes. Can you tell me a little bit, just a little bit more? You mentioned the album was made in the Black Reef space. This is Holy Shit. What else can you tell us about this album?
Oh, man, it just, when I first held it in my hands on a vinyl, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, it was just the best feeling, because it's been such a journey to get there. The dudes are so prolific. They're writing all the time. Their music's amazing, but they're just rock and rollers and they don't want to do the business stuff. So, so to finally like crack the whip enough to get this pressed and get this now on 3CR Radio, it's a dream come true for me.
Fantastic, mate. And that album is called?
The album is called Holy Shit.
And the song we're going to play is called Holy Shit. Pirate, it's been an absolute pleasure having you in. Thank you so much, mate.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, Marty.
It's the Drink my wine.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast. If you found it valuable, please consider donating or subscribing to support independent community radio. To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au.